Yes, sir. This is your hearing, and the Honorable Mr. Louis Kiwanis will be conducting your hearing at this time, sir.
All right.
Sir, can you hear me clearly?
Yes.
Can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
Andrew Barnett, 33224.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a 31412A parole hearing to consider regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. Although we are conducting this hearing by telephone and you cannot see us, we have five voting board members today, and we are the Honorable Mr. David Neal, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, and my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel chairman for this hearing. I will begin this hearing with a summary. Mr. Andrew Barnett is 65 years old. He was certified eligible by the Arizona Department of Corrections for a 31412A regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. The crime of dangerous deadly assault by a prisoner occurred on or about June 20th, 1979. He was approximately 27 years old at the time of the offense. He also had 1974 convictions for armed robbery and kidnapping, which have since expired. He was sentenced for the incident offense on February 12, 1980. His conviction was appealed and upheld on September 15, 1980. Mr. Barnett has been 31412A parole eligible since September 17, 2006, was granted home arrest on April 17, 2014, and revoked on March 9, 2017 for the use of methamphetamine and cocaine in violation of the conditions of his parole. Does everything sound correct so far, Mr. Barnett?
No, everything's correct.
Thank you, sir. I will read a short summary of the current offense in question. In the early morning hours of June 20th, 1979, an inmate of the Arizona State Prison in Florence, Gregory Nelson, was stabbed three times with a half pair of garden shears. He received wounds to his chin, left armpit, and above his left breast. After the stabbing, Nelson saw the... Yes, sir.
No, I thought you had asked me a question.
Oh, no, sir. After the stabbing, Nelson saw the assailant return to another bunk and was able to determine that the attacker was a fellow inmate, Andrew Barnett, the defendant herein. At trial, several prisoners other than Nelson testified that they saw Mr. Barnett return to his bunk after the stabbing. Additionally, inmate John Palmer testified that he heard defendant admit to the stabbing. Mr. Barnett was found guilty and sentenced to life imprisonment without the possibility of release for 25 years. According to Mr. Barnett's institutional progress report, he had extensive programming in ADC, and he submitted a release plan which included living with his wife and receiving veterans and Social Security benefits. He has a moderate history of discipline in ADC from 1985 through 2011. It was last major on May 17, 2010 for conspiracy. So, Mr. Barnett, we do commend you for not having discipline inside ADC for quite some time. This is the seventh hearing before the board. The incident offense, in which this hearing is dedicated, represents an escalation in violent criminal behavior. He had no letters of support in his parole packet, but he does have supporters in the hearing room with us today. Thank you. It should be noted that Mr. Barnett is an Army veteran who served in Vietnam from 1969 to 1971. Now, Mr. Barnett, this is your first time before some of the members of this board. We'd like to get to know you. Can you tell us in your own words about the offense that resulted in your incarceration?
Are you referring to my arrest in January of this year?
I'm sorry. Thank you. That's a good question because you were revoked from your parole. But I was referring to the offense that resulted in your life sentence for dangerous deadly assault by a prisoner. Can you tell us in your own words about the that offense that resulted in your larger period of incarceration?
Yes. In 1979, I was living in a dormitory, and at that time, a sex offender was moved into my dormitory, and I didn't want him in there, so I got him out of there. And that's the extent of it.
Now, sir, you said that a sex offender was moved into your dormitory. Did you have a bad relationship beyond? And it's, if I'm not mistaken, you killed this inmate?
No.
You did not kill him?
No.
Okay, I just want to make sure because the way it reads, it says deadly assault, and I might have missed that. So did the inmate survive?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, sir. And again, the question was, did you have a bad relationship with him, or was this purely because he was a sex offender?
No, he was just an inmate that did an incident that I thought was heinous, and I didn't want him to be in the same building with me.
Okay, sir. You did receive parole or home arrest granted in 2014. You had your feet here for a short period of time, so how did home arrest work out for you?
Well, it was, I thought I was doing quite all right until last year. In an effort to try to assist a family member, I started moving into an area, a drug infested area, because he had started using a particular type of drug. And I ended up, while he was using one drug, I ended up using another drug. And I started getting positive grades. So that's why I was revoked.
Now, I understand if correct me if I'm wrong, because sometimes in the mornings we prepare for several cases, but am I correct that you had a problem with heroin in the past?
No, well,
in the past.
In Vietnam, I was addicted to heroin, but as a result, I tried to avoid opiates.
But in this case, which is the drug that you used that resulted in the revocation?
I couldn't hear you.
You were revoked in 2017 for your home arrest.
Yes.
So what was the drug that you used?
Methamphetamine. I had prescriptions for oxycodone pills for pain, for chronic pain. But I was using methamphetamine, which was in violation of my parole.
Well, thank you for being honest with the board. According to your progress report, you had a lot of programming in ADC. What sort of programming did you have?
Well, I've been going through programs, release and reintegration programs, as well as addictive behavior, release criminal and addictive behavior thinking. So, there's programs that I can think of, and also I went through anger management. So I've been trying to address my issues.
Did you receive your GED in the prison system, sir?
Would you repeat that?
Did you receive your GED? There's reference here to your GED.
Yes, that's correct.
And, okay, your home arrest was revoked because of drug use, so was there some sort of trigger that returned you to drug use, sir?
Would you repeat that?
Your home arrest, when you were released from prison and then you were revoked, it was for drug use. Was there some sort of trigger that returned you to using drugs?
Yes, it was. As I said, I was trying to assist a family member who had started using cocaine, crack cocaine. And when I go to live for him, I start going to areas that I simply was not familiar with, that I was, being locked up so long, I didn't know anything about it. So I ended up in an environment that led to my using methamphetamine. That was the key, the environment itself. I shouldn't have placed myself in that situation.
Well, sir, since you've been returned to the Department of Corrections, and you've had some time to think about this, should this board vote to return you to the community, how would you deal with that issue now?
Well, first of all, the Veterans Administration, VA Affairs Office, they have programming and therapy. I was in therapy for PTSD, but I can get extended therapy for whatever I need through Veterans Affairs. And of course, I need to get out and be with my wife. Because this came up all of a sudden just last year. I had been out for over 2 years when all this came about. I was simply not placing myself in this situation again.
There is some notes in your progress plan about living with your wife and also possibly receiving veterans and Social Security benefits. I won't get into the actual dollar amount, but were you actually receiving those benefits or able to receive those benefits when you returned to the community?
Yes.
I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you, Mr. Barnett. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
So I just want to make sure that I some of the record is straight. You were released on home arrest and then you got regular general parole?
Yes.
So while you were on home arrest, you were doing really good?
And general parole, yes.
Okay. So you were on home arrest for about a year?
No, 3 months.
You were only for 3 months and then you went to general parole?
Yes.
Okay, and then how long you were on general parole for? What, about a year and a half?
2 years. Two and a half years.
2.5 years? And yep. You were doing good until this incident happened, huh?
Yes.
So what would you do? I know you say that you wouldn't get back into that again, but what would you do to prevent it, sir?
Well, when I reflect back on it, the whole thing began when I started trying to track down my nephew. When I was going to the areas where he was hanging out, that's where it occurred. And he made his decision, he's still doing what he was doing. So I'm living for me now. And if he won't be out there, that's his business. I'm not going to go after him again. And I'm not going to put myself in an environment where that kind of stuff is being done.
So what areas was it that you went in?
In South Phoenix.
Where? I mean, is somewhere specific in South Phoenix? South Phoenix?
He was city motels.
Mm-hmm.
But then, where these people hang out, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And if I remember right, does your wife lives in Mesa?
Yes.
Did you take any drug rehab programs while you were out on either home arrest or general parole, sir, for was about almost 3 years it's coming up to?
No, I had never taken a drug program. I had worked at a drug rehab facility at one time until my benefits were solidified and I could no longer work.
So is there a reason why you didn't get into any type of drug rehab program, whether something that the parole officer put you in or something at the VA?
Well, the reason I had never gotten into a drug rehab is because I hadn't been involved in drugs since returning from Vietnam.
Oh, okay. So, did you do drugs while you were in prison?
No.
No?
And so no, the most I ever did in prison was maybe drink some hooch.
Okay. And so this time, it had been a long time before you got involved in actually doing drugs then?
Yes. And I've been out there for 40 years, so that environment, I was unfamiliar. I stepped into something I knew nothing about.
So during that period of time, since you've been incarcerated, have you taken any drug rehab programs since you've been incarcerated, sir?
Yes.
What did you take?
Well, as I stated earlier, criminal and addictive behavior, drinking, and I took a drug course. It's been some time ago, but it was 1999, I believe it was. And I shared a certificate of that course in my file.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
So thank you, Mr. Johnson. Yes, Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Mr. Quinones.
Thank you, Mr. Quinones. Mr. Vernon, who was your parole officer?
I had four parole officers.
Okay, who was your most recent one?
My most recent was Sean Hayes.
Okay. And what was your relationship with your parole officer?
Well, we had a good relationship. I don't hold him responsible for anything I've done. He worked with me. He sent me to a program, and everything was working well, except I placed myself at risk. And he wasn't strong enough to resist the temptation.
Okay.
The parole officer did everything he could to try to avoid the situation.
Yeah, that's a bit of our experiences. We really think parole officers try to work with people. So, okay, thank you, Mr. Brennan. Thank you, Mr. Quinones.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Any further questions by fellow board members? Yes, Dr. Wright.
Yes, thank you so much, Mr. Honorable Mr. Quinones. Now, Mr. Barnett, I'm just curious, maybe this has nothing to do with nothing, but I do take note in your package, and maybe this was not placed in your package by yourself. I know this goes back to the 1970s. There's so much in here about psychological evaluations and so much in here about the VA. Did when you committed the initial offenses, did they have anything to do with your service in the military or anything of that nature? And I'm just curious because I see they have newspaper articles in here about the VA and so forth, and I'm just wondering why they're in here.
Yes, the psychiatrist that diagnosed me suffering from PTSD said that much of the incidents and troubles I was getting into years ago was the result of that.
And
I never could see a direct link myself, but that was his explanation.
Did he place you on any medication at all to deal with that, or that was just the end of it once the report was submitted, sir?
My understanding is that my situation is chronic, so my understanding is that basically what can be done is therapy, and that's why when I was out, I was going through therapy for this issue.
He was going to the therapy. Was that with the VA or was that with a private group?
It was with a private doctor as well as the Veterans Affairs.
I know you've asked this three or four times, but I'm going to ask my way this time. Why, sir, since this board, neither one of us was on the board at the time, but since this board had put confidence in you back in 2014 and given you the opportunity to be a citizen, why did you violate earlier, sir? Why did you violate? Well, I mean, I know you said it was because of your nephew, your relative who was down in South Phoenix at some drug facility where you could get drugs, and you yield to him. But I think you stayed yourself. You had already been out for about 2 years, but why did you become so weak, sir? Was there something else that happened to you at that time, sir?
Well, I was a very stressful situation. My wife was sick. She had been in the hospital a couple of times. There was some stressful things going on there. I don't like to blame other things for what I do. I try to take responsibility for what I do. And so all I can say is that had I not placed myself in that environment, I wouldn't be in this situation now. I placed myself in the environment where those substances were being used. and I got weak. I succumbed to the work that was going on. And it's kind of embarrassing because I'm 65 years old. I should have known better. But that's all I can say is that. It's my fault. I did that.
Let me just ask my final question, sir. Now, if this board saw fit to let you out again, how could this board be assured that you would not relapse again with drugs? Because you don't have to go to South Phoenix to find drugs these days, I'm told. You can find drugs anywhere. I mean, they're just running around everywhere, I'm told. So how would you resist? How would you be strong enough to resist drugs, you know, that you might find on the counter on the corner, or you might find them if you went to a convenience store? I'm told sometimes just find them if you're walking down the street, somebody just walk up and offer you drugs. How would you resist them this time, sir?
Because, sir, substances have never been a priority of mine. That's never been my goal. I placed myself in a situation in the Bible where was that. Yeah, I'm sure you could find it anywhere if you want to find it. That's not my goal. I'm trying to get out and do the family thing, be with my wife and enjoy our family. And that's what I'm looking for. And anything other than that, I don't want in my life. I mean, that's the only I can promise you. I can say a whole lot of things in terms of promises. But words are easy to say. The best thing I can do is show.
Okay, sir. Well, thank you so much, Mr. Burnett, and thank you so much, Honorable Mr. Kawali, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Wright. Mr. Burnett?
Yes.
Just a quick note here, and I do apologize for that misstep. When I read your summary, I combined the two. I know that you actually went on home arrest in 2013 and then were granted parole in 2014, and I kind of skipped that step. I follow up question based on some of the questions that were asked by my fellow board members, and that is your return to the Department of Corrections after being revoked from your parole. Have you had any struggles or temptations with drugs since you've been inside prison? Because we know that drugs are available, unfortunately, inside prison. So how are you doing?
I don't have any temptations at all.
Well, that's good to hear. We certainly commend you for that. You mentioned, now again, this is not the reason for your hearing today, that you had some problems with heroin early in your life. Was heroin something that you were exposed to here in the United States or in Vietnam?
In Vietnam.
And what was your job function in Vietnam?
I was helicopter crew chief.
I did want to thank you for your service, regardless of how you arrived here in the prison system. Any chance that a veteran comes before us, it's still meaningful and honorable. And certainly I recognize that was a very, very dangerous job that you're doing during that time. I think I'm going to take this time in the hearing to ask your supporters if they would like to come up to the podium, state their name, and offer any information they would like to the board.
Hi.
Can you state your name?
My name is Rose, and I'm Mr. Barnett's wife. And I'll tell you a little bit about me first of all.
Sure, ma'am.
I work at a drug rehab. I volunteer there anywhere from 4 to 8 hours a week. I'm also a registered nurse for like 40 some years. I talk to Andrew when I go in to visit him, I talk to him about it. And he really has a lot to lose if he goes back out, because I'm done if it goes back out. The only reason that I've given him a second chance is because, number one, when you hear his history about being in the service and being shot down in the helicopter and things like that, and I happen to be in the Vietnam era, and I saw the boys when they came back and they spat on them. And I'm from Ohio, I saw the National Guard shoot down the kids that were protesting the Vietnam War and all the, because I, Kent State University is my alma mater, and I'm pretty sure all you guys.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but I was going to ask, because I'm a big history buff. You were actually at Kent State.
I was a senior in high school. I was going to Kent State.
Wow, it's amazing.
And in between my graduation and my attendance at this.
Wow, tragic, but thank you for sharing.
So I'm aware of what went on with them, and it makes me embarrassed to, in a way, to be an American in that age, because it was my age group that was spitting on people and, you know, doing all the protesting and everything. But to make a long story short, I've talked to Andrew and I've told him I gave you a second chance because I realize you've been incarcerated for 40 years. You were 22 when you went in and 62 when you got out. So the world has changed. And I'm giving you a second chance. However, that's it. If you can't keep yourself and do the things that you need to do to keep yourself straight, and he's right, he did wonderful, otherwise I would have never married him. We've only been married two years. And I just think that he'll do wonderful when he gets out. There are programs that I have looked into. My sister has a friend that has a very good program if he needs to go to a program. And actually, I don't think he realized that the program that his parole officer sent him to was a drug program when he realized he was in trouble. Because I did look at the workbook that he had, and he did work the workbook. But in a way, it's partially my fault because I was the one who asked him to go find my nephew because my nephew had OD'd on heroin. So, and I was worried about it, but then he got into it and I could kick myself for asking him. But if he's released, we'll go back to our same old little sitting out on the porch watching hummingbirds and just enjoying, you know, these last years that we have of our life. And that's all I have to say.
Ma'am, I really want to thank you for sharing with the board. And again, this hearing, this isn't your hearing, but I do want to thank you for your service, both as an RN and working with people with drug addiction issues. I think that's beyond honorable. And I want to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. Just a quick question from me, and that is that I think one of the patterns that I've seen the most, and I'm not a psychologist, with PTSD is a lot of anger underneath the surface. Were you able to work with him when he was outside of the prison system?
Actually, he's very gentle and very considerate, and he does listen to me. I can pull him aside when he's getting into his anger and talk to him and talk him down and make him think about what he's doing. It's just that I don't go into drug areas, first of all, because I'm a woman, and secondly, because of my profession, and I have a lot to lose. And he realizes I have a lot to lose on his behavior. So I just feel that the reality of, yes, you will go back. Yes, you will spend the rest of your life in prison. Because at our age, a week in prison could be the rest of your life in prison. So I think that he realizes that now, just from visiting him and the things that we've talked about.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate your time.
Thank you all.
I also graduated from Kent State.
Oh,
you and I were there at the same time.
Oh, okay.
Would anyone else like to speak before the board? Okay, thank you, all of you, for attending this morning. Okay, Mr. Barnett, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement that you would like to make before the board? We only asked that, is there a final statement that you would like to make without repeating yourself or anything that you've already told us?
Yes, what I want to say is that I'm asking for another opportunity to prove myself. And I have no intention of getting out and violating any of the conditions that's laid down. And I'm quite certain that I'll be able to comply with any and all the conditions. And I have no desire to use any substance. And my only concern is to get out and try to spend the rest of my life as a law-abiding citizen. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Barnett. The board is going into discussion now. It may sound like we're speaking with you, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself in the open. You are reminded that we do not discuss these cases before we come into the hearing room, so this is the first time that our board will have a chance to discuss this case since you've been returned to DOC. So if you'll just remain on the phone, we'll get back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir.
All right.
The board is now in discussion, and I will begin by saying that, again, as has been stated in this hearing, Mr. Barnett is 65 years old. I certainly don't want to commend him for some sort of trigger response that returned him to drug use or experimentation, but I will say that I am commending him after being on a home arrest and then parole for what looks like about 3 years, or at least the time between 2013 and 2017, 3 to 4 years. It certainly did not escalate to any sort of major crimes. We do see a lot of drug addiction in society right now, and it's something that we're having to deal with every day. Based on our discussion with him today, I will just simply say, not just being soft, but I'm open to returning him to home arrest. I believe that these last months may have had a positive effect on him, and I think that's where I'd like to begin the discussion. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
I'm going to say that I'm in agreement with you. I think that if given the opportunity, Mr. Barnett can certainly come out of it and survive. I wasn't in the military, but my three older brothers were all Vietnam vets and came back, and that was a rough period of time. But I see Mr. Barnett receive 5 medals while he was over there, 2 medals for the Distinguished Flying Cross, and Bronze Star, along with 2 lesser medals that he actually received in fighting this addiction that he has. Is just as hard as fighting is actually in the war within himself. But I think that with his wife and the support that he has and his commitment, that he learned his lesson, that you know he can't get back involved in those type of activities, because when he started doing drugs, he went pretty heavy. It wasn't just a little bit. Once he got there, and he was going all the way in. So I think he understands that that is just a situation that he has to totally avoid, and probably the potency and the drugs that they have now, and what they were doing 40 years ago when he was in Vietnam is all probably altogether much different. So you know, he may have thought that it would be something he could do and just get away with, but it wasn't. It's something that once he did it, he was gone, and he was in an unfamiliar area. And I think I'm certainly willing to give Mr. Barnett a second opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any? Yes, Ms. Rimmels.
Yes, I feel the same way, especially with the amount of support that he has. He's got the benefits, veterans benefits, and a place to live, you know, a good place away from the area that he says he needs to avoid. Certainly methamphetamine use is dangerous and difficult, especially if it's an addiction, but I would be open to home arrest.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Any further input by fellow board members? And I will go ahead and make my motion, and that is to grant home arrest to Mr. Andrew Barnett, ADC number 33224. And the conditions of release will be that he follow all mandatory DOC conditions and sanctions. Go through a need for assessment referral for counseling, vocational, educational. No alcohol use. Random test for drugs and alcohol. This is only based on the fact that there was a much earlier crime for robbery and kidnapping, but no contact with victims or their families, and that's just left over from the past. I'm not sure if he completed his restitution. I'll just check the box. I think there's no hurt in doing that. Abide by institutional rules. Partake in available programming as directed, in particular any issues dealing with drug abuse or addiction. And that is my motion.
Second.
Mm-hmm.
Agree. He also has to pay supervision fees.
Yes, thank you. And that supervision fee, once again, I think it's $60 within 60 days?
65.
I knew I was kind of off. $65. Within 60 days. So, Mr. Barnett.
Yes.
Do you think that you can abide by these rules and conditions? We're granting to return you to home arrest status. Do you understand the conditions of your release? I'll state them again just so that you can hear me, and that's to follow all mandatory DOC conditions and sanctions, go through needs assessment referral, no alcohol use, random drug tests, no contact with victims or victims' family, and that's just left over from the past. Any restitution that's left over, abide by institutional rules, partake in available programming as directed. So, Mr. Barnett, we're getting close to the end of our hearing. We wish you the best. We really want you to succeed this time out there. Are you ready to return?
Thank you.
You're welcome, and this concludes our hearing. Any further data?
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.